Something that we all do, or should be doing, is in our daily lives, is pray. The question about how to make prayer useful in a practical sense is something that I want to look into today. When I was young, even before I had turned into a teenager, way, way, way before I had become converted, I was taught many prayers. I had grown up in the Catholic religion, and I went to all the Sunday school classes, and I learned what was taught in that environment. And at that point in time, I was taught to recite prayers in a class and individually when I was tested to see how well I was doing. Prayers were recited during church services as well. They were also part of penance after you had made a confession. That was part of their ritual. But the point that I recall, even at that young age, is that there was just repetition of words, and those repetition of words were the means of success. But that was the wrong kind of success. And that's how we were taught, though. So as I was growing up and learning about religion, and I never really felt comfortable learning in that way. It never really stuck. I remember being even a little perplexed by some of the phrases that I uttered. But in classes that I was taught, we weren't taught to actually think about what we were saying. We just were taught to get the words right. Perhaps that's just what I remember, but regardless, the prayers that we were taught at that point in time, at that in that environment, were all about putting a facade of devotion on our religion. That was superficial. It was not useful. It was not something that I learned to appreciate. And when I turned to the truth, I realized that prayer is much more of a cornerstone, much more important than just words. Uttering words out of just mindless repetition becomes a disconnected meditation, a mindless habit, if it's something that we let determine our way of prayer. But if we don't, if we allow prayer to be used in a way that is more meaningful in our lives, it is very powerful. In fact, it is one of the most powerful tools that God provides us. But if we don't use it to its fullest potential, we're absolutely missing out. Now, I talked about the way that I was taught as a youngster how to pray. In the wrong way, in the superficial way. But do we find ourselves today praying in a pattern where we apply the habit but don't think very much about what we mean? Do we use vain repetitions? Do we pray not only in that way, but even if we think about the words, do we pray without actually committing to effect a change in our lives and the way we live? The words that we say in our prayers, the way that we allow prayers to affect our thoughts, need to affect in a practical way how we live. That is how prayer can be used as the most powerful tool. And occasionally, we need to sharpen our tools. And at the beginning of the feast, I thought that this would be a really good way to kick things off, is to help us all to start out by really meditating and thinking about what we're doing, asking ourselves why we're doing it, and put that into our personal lives through prayer. That's how we build our personal relationship with God. Now, we are taught how to pray. And the way that we are taught how to pray will help us improve our lives. So let's go over to Matthew 6, and we'll read verses 7 through 8. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. We need to make sure that we are not uttering words without thought. If God knows what our needs are before we even utter the words, that must mean that prayer serves a purpose for us as well. We're given this tool to pray. It involves thinking about the words that we want to share with God. But he already knows what we'll say anyway. He already knows what we need. So what then is the purpose? Why would we pray if God already knows what we need? What is our role in prayer? It's obvious that we need to be doing it, but why? Prayer is not only a means of communicating with God, but is also a means of meditating in our own lives and thinking about our relationship with God and how we want it to affect our lives. Prayer is a practical tool. It's there for us. God already knows what we want, but the practice of prayer can help us. It offers us a method of focusing our thoughts, and those thoughts, once focused, will have an effect on our relationship with God, as well as our behavior. So the first point that I want to bring up is that we need to be very specific in our prayers. So let's just turn over a page or two to Matthew 7, and I would like to read verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? We need to put sincere thought into our prayer. There's no doubt about that. But what we read here is that we need to be very specific about that. We need to ask God for what we really need. And if we cannot be specific about the substance of our prayers, that means that we're not trying very hard. God does know what we need, but we too need to think about what we need. Take the time to consider carefully what we need in our lives to help us reflect, understand, and acknowledge consciously how we need God to work in our lives and how we need to change our behavior to become more converted. When we draw these types of conclusions in our prayer, as we meditate on these words, our prayers to God become more effective, more meaningful. It also allows us to use that information in our lives. So that first point is about being specific about the content of our prayers, being deliberate. The second point is that we need to allow prayer to affect our behavior in life. It needs to do something for us. It can't just be a set of meditated words that are not used. So we allow prayer to affect our behavior. Let's turn over to John 15, and we'll read verses 7 and 8. John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So we have two verses there. Verse 7 is about abiding in God and his allowing his words to abide in our lives, and by doing that, asking him for what we desire. That's the prayer part. That's the meditation of our words and how we pray. The second part is about bearing fruit. Those are not two separate, distinct thoughts. Our prayers need to abide in God's truth. And once they are there, once those seeds are planted in our lives, they must bear fruit. They must affect our behavior and how we live as Christians in obedience to God. Our prayers, our words, need to modify our behavior. They need to change our lives. We cannot have said it just to forget it. It needs to do something. I'd like to turn to an example of a prayer coupled with an earnest effort applied in consistency with that prayer. This is in Judges, and it's chapter 16 and verses 28 through 30. This is about Samson. Judges 16 and verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right hand and the other on his left. Then Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords of all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in all his life. Now this may not be the most virtuous example, but we do see a prayer made by Samson. What does he do after he prays, though? He applies effort. He actually tries to do what he had asked help for. He pushed on those pillars of the temple after he prayed. He didn't pray for strength and then do nothing. That's the point. When we pray to God to help us out, do we apply our own efforts? Do we allow God to help us? Do we allow God to strengthen us when we ask him for strength? We need to exercise if we are to do that. God will not strengthen us if we apply zero effort. If he's our multiplier, he could multiply times a million, and if our effort is zero, the effect is still zero. Let's turn over to Psalm 119 for another example. Psalm 119 and verses 25 through 32. Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove me from the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. In this prayer to God, David makes his requests. He prays for help to repent from the sin of lying. He prays for strength to abide in God's truth. And he declares his commitment to God's truth and obedience. It is something that he is desperate to apply in his own life. He is not only praying these words to God, asking for strength and help, but he offers his commitment to stick to it, to do his part. It is clear that he is actively trying to improve his life, not just living, praying to God a few words and saying, okay, my job is done, I don't have to do anything anymore. We have to apply the words that we pray in our life. How do our prayers improve our behavior? So the third point, and last point, is that we need to believe. We need, once we have been very deliberate about our prayers, very conscious, once we have put effort behind it, we need to also have faith. We need to believe that what we pray will come to pass. Let's turn over to James 1, and I'll read verses 5 through 8. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we pray, we need to be faithful in it. Faith, if you recall, is the evidence of things not seen. When we put that into practical terms, that means that faith in action is a belief in what we are faithful in as if it has already happened. That's what faith is about. When we pray asking for strength, if we have faith in that, we believe that God has already offered us that strength. It's not something that we doubt about. Well, like maybe he'll do it, I don't know. It's not that way. God has his own timetable that we know about. But these words here, if we are praying according to the will of God, he is going to do it. All right? So we need to believe. When we are faithful in this way, we consciously change the way we think. We trust. And not only that, we act based on that trust. We behave, modify our behavior, as if what we are praying about has already happened. One more scripture here. Let's turn over to 1 John 5, a few pages over, and verses 14 through 15. First John 5 and verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We need to be confident in our prayers, knowing that when we pray in accordance with God's will, it is done. That's how we pray. Now, when we pray, brethren, we need to pray for a real effect. We want something specific to come to pass. This can take the shape of repentance, healing, relief from stress, spiritual understanding especially, well-being, and many other types of things that we need in our life. Prayer is about changing our lives and deepening our conversion. If we want our lives to be affected in a positive way, we have to be thoughtful, intentional, and specific in our prayer. We have to start with true meditation on what we need if we are to become better trained to be children of God. We need to turn to prayer to increase the obedience in our behavior. We need to not only do that, but it needs to have an effect in the way that we live. We have to make our conduct consistent with the substance of our prayer. And if we don't, our prayers will be unsuccessful. And finally, we need to have the faith that our prayers made before God in accordance with His will be heard and will come to pass. By praying in this way, allowing it to change our lives will, in fact, change. And our prayers will grant us the peace and prosperity that we seek. With that, I will cite one final scripture, which I hope that we all take to heart during this feast, as we begin on this first day, and that's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It states simply this: pray without ceasing.